attention is the number one asset.
The ad world is in for a rude awakening the same way the car industry was when it had an innovation called Tesla. I think it's the same way Hollywood network companies were when they had Netflix. You know, I often think that VaynerMedia is the preview to all the agencies of 20 years from now. Not because I'm so smart or we're so smart or we're so special. There's a secret word that the ad industry has to adopt fast, and it's a word that the industry does not know how to handle. And that word is humility.
We, of course, we want to hear all about the future. You are about the future. We talk about a lot about found content and making more content and making more things out of other things and how fun it is and how easy it is. But I want to hear what you are looking at, just a general sense of what you're looking at in 2023. What is sparking your brain and what will you be thinking about in the months ahead?
AI copywriting is probably at the top of my list of futuristic stuff. You know, it was funny when you said you're all about the future, my brain went the present. I think the world thinks a lot of things that I'm excited about. Like, I don't guess, I don't want to do something that nobody's doing yet. So, you know, I've been looking at AI stuff, machine learning stuff for years as an investor, as a, as, hey, when will this happen? And then, you know, earlier this fall, you know, ChatGPT, you look at that and you're like, wait a minute, this is real. Like, I can write an entire blog post in 2 minutes. And what I'm excited about is, you know, I've seen some counterpoints in social where people are like, this is bad, this is gonna take away jobs. And like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, if you know your history, that's what people said about tractors. Yeah. You know, tractors were bad. We shouldn't make,
looms.
Right, we shouldn't make farming, things, like I'm trying to remember, machinery. We shouldn't make farming machinery that will take away jobs. What happens is when jobs are taken away, new jobs are created.
Yeah.
And what I see in copywriting AI is the commodity is being disrupted, but you know, you have to come up with the ideas. Like I have to say, hey, write a blog post about VeeFriends and compare it to wine and say it in the voice of Chris Farley. And then enter, and then I've got to edit it. So ideas and creativity go to the top.
Yeah.
The commodity of the execution goes to the bottom. And Tom, obviously we've had the luxury of jamming together. You know that I in a lot of ways am very traditional to advertising. I think the creative is the variable of success. I think ideas are incredibly the beginning point of that. But obviously, you know, given your career, like I have a very different point of view of the process of that. Less politics of one human being's subjective opinion based on seniority, more making at scale and looking at consumer insights to make better. That is not test and learn, that's marketing with the sake of making better marketing. So, you know, I think AI copywriting is at the tippy top. And then the continuation, more of the same. In 2023, I think we'll see more people understand that you have to make different commercials for CTV, like a Hulu commercial, an Amazon Prime commercial, a future Netflix commercial. If you make what we all know as commercials for that space, it's going to be bad. And so like, let's make videos that people actually wanna watch. More TikTok, the organic reach is subsiding because more people are making for it, more ads are being run, so now you have to be better to break through, right?
Yeah.
Other platforms do, I mean, Instagram put out a feature this week where, you know, all of a sudden the DM ecosystem looks differently. There's some WhatsApp behavior. I just put in, you know, a post in there. What are they officially calling it? Do we know?
Notes.
Notes. This notes feature, like I just put in, like, what's your favorite wine? Boom, getting a ton of engagement. Like, oh, attention, UI, UX. So the platforms, you know, Facebook Reels, crushing for me, right? Creative strategy, doing green screens over headlines as your creative versus just ranting to the video. So the creative strategy of these platforms that are mature like YouTube, you know, we hear all the, you know, when I hear Mr. Beast talk about spending six figures on a thumbnail.
Yeah.
Just imagine, you know, there's a Daily V, which is my daily blog that got a million views after three title changes and four thumbnail changes. versus 40,000 views. Like, you know, there's like really incredible, you know, creative strategy that is going to continue to build, I think, in 2023. More people are gonna buy into it. I'm seeing the term clip agencies pop up, which is like—
Clip agencies?
Yeah, there's a term I saw in my TikTok, three different TikToks I've seen in the last 3 weeks of like, clip agencies are new, are the new website agencies. The guy was comparing it that he had a website agency in the 90s because everybody needed one. Now clip agencies, which is the essence of what I've been doing for 10 years, which is like micro creative, like what I do every day. We put out 15 clips today on YouTube and they're calling them clip agencies. I thought it was clever. I'm like, oh, it's just so funny to see like that, it, you know, is becoming the science that people are trying to understand. While still, as I'm looking outside of New York City, I'm looking at two outdoor billboards, one's for Apple, and I'm looking at the creative and I'm like, look, that's a very busy street, 10th Avenue in New York City. Like, when you buy billboards properly, not overpay, but maybe buy remnant inventory, you get the billboard for 2 months at like 80% of the cost, you know, that's a deal of awareness. It's New York City. A lot of people will see it, actually. Even with people looking at their phones, I still think the drivers, I know you lost the passenger because of the phone, but even the driver, though with Tesla, people, but nonetheless, for now,
as long as we're
I look at that, I'm like, ooh, that might be a deal, but then I'm like, but is that the right creative? And I know, and you know, Tom, 99.9% likely that somebody just came up with that and they and somebody else said that's good and they went. To me, not testing images on Twitter and Instagram and other Pinterest to get to here are my 37 hypotheses. And I just use the word I don't want to use. I don't want to use test. Market pictures on those platforms, have actual humans respond to it, and then have affirmation, oh, this image is most likely to make someone stop or pay attention. I'm gonna, it's just crazy. We continue to do marketing as if the internet doesn't exist.
Right. How do you, to follow up on that, how are our clients gonna have to change?
Well, you know this.
In the future,
you know,
what's a new generation of marketer look
you, like? You know this. Again, this is the beauty of like, this is so fun. This, you know, I wanted to do this for you too, because I want to support you, because once Vayner, always Vayner. And so you know this, brother. You came from the industry. You spent time at Vayner. You know it's hard. It's hard for us. We are trying to teach people a new game. It's like, hey, I know you've been playing, you know, hockey for the last 40 years. We'd like you to play pickleball. And they're like, what? But it's a sport. But it's not the same. And
they're so
you know this, like, even you, I don't know if this serendipity of the accounts you worked on, Tom, and I think with Pepsi, I'm trying to think, might have not
Pepsi,
hit
Budweiser.
Might have not hit your radar as much, but
I tried.
No, it wasn't this. It's just the serendipity of the accounts you were on. We have accounts that I can think of that you weren't on that literally the results, like literally the business is up for the first time in a long time.
But because
it's not what they want, which is like, let's just all sit around for 7 months, come up with an idea and throw it on TV. They're like not fully happy. They're like, no, but we should do, like, they're always fighting for it to go back to the old way.
Yeah.
And so the modern marketer is gonna have to be like the modern parent, right? Like the modern parents gotta realize that eighth place trophies for the last 20 years have really fucked kids up. I know the intent was good. We didn't want kids to be upset. That's beautiful. I don't think parents 25 years ago when this started being a trend were trying to upset kids in their 20s and 30s with anxiety and fear of losing. They were trying to address the issue at hand, which was, you know, if this kid gets a trophy and my son's coming home or daughter and they're crying, that's bad. So the logic there was there. But it ended up, here we are now 2023, and we do have an incredible issue in society, which is that we've demonized losing so much that kids fear so much now, they don't wanna do, they're like scared to do anything. To the point where like, it's even like hot to be like, I don't wanna work.
Right.
That's not sustainable. That's just not how the, you know, and so, you know, I think the same thing with marketers. I don't think the marketers or the creatives I bring in or strategists I bring in are ill intent. I think they just don't see the consequences of not adjusting to the truth.
And what's adjusting look like? What are the—
Realizing that brand is built in social. Let's start there. Right now you have an entire—
I love that phrase, brand is built in social.
I mean, what does that mean? It means that the brands that are winning are quite effective in social media marketing or on their product. and they don't have to be effective in TV commercials and above the line branding. And the brands that are losing market share are betting the farm on above the line branding and TV executions, and it's just black and white. And the only enigmas are the ones that have the product is so much better. I've always said that I felt that Apple for the last decade has not been as effective of a marketer as people think, but it's been hidden because they have the best product. Mm. And you see it because you see way too many people consider Android in youth culture when that shouldn't be the case when Apple's a much better product.
Yeah.
It's that they're not winning on relevance as much as people think they might be. And so, you know, I think there's this big bad game of relevance and consideration that is very classic marketing jargon that, that television and above the line vanilla sentences for brand positioning are unable to achieve because they box everyone into matching luggage and digital. Most of it's traditional digital. It goes programmatic banner and impressions instead of social first creative against consumer segmentations to win on relevance and then extract consumer insights and go up on what you want to bet on. So it's going to take everyone to flip the whole model, which is incredibly challenging. You have an entire industry of marketers and creatives and strategists who were built on fake research or limited, and it's not fake, that's not fair, but very limited research. You go to Reddit, you go to the internet, you do a little research, you survey 20 to 50 people, and you come in and you pitch an idea that came out of brilliant creative minds, but like the reality is like it's just not working. And so I think a lot more creative, the cost of creative has to come down. We can't think good creative is just based on how much it costs.
Right.
Like, I want to remind
the director
people.
Director, you got.
Yeah, exactly. I want to remind people, many people, every person here who's listening, you have had a $600 dinner. Not every person, because not everyone's fortunate enough to have this kind of dinner. For the people that have, but you know, have stumbled on it one way or another.
Even we're only for the upper echelon. this podcast. No, but top notch.
But really, like, you know, people go with a boss and they get to like there have been people who've had their first. Actually, here's a better way. For the people that have been lucky enough to have a fancy meal, a white tablecloth meal. Many of us listening right now can know that they've had meals that cost $500 with the wine and the high-end food and the caviar this and the sweetbreads that and the foie gras this or whatever it may be, high-end sushi. And then we've also had like a Bojangles chicken sandwich for $1 or whatever the hell it is, $5. And like the $5 one was more satisfying and more effective than the $600 one. Wine, bourbon, sodas, and take any consumable. Clothes, there's people that have a $47 pair of jeans that they love 10 times more than a $300. And so somehow we realize subconsciously, if not consciously, that in the world, there's a lot of things we like more that don't cost as much. We like it more.
Yeah.
Yet, in the creative ad world, quality is completely, completely tied into, subconsciously, to how much it costs. A TikTok that gets 80 trillion views can't be as good as a commercial that runs on NBC primetime because that one cost $800 or $3,000 and the other one cost $1 million.
Yeah.
With production and agency fee and talent and director and, right? When in reality, every day on TikTok, there is 45 pieces of marketing creative that will be seen by 10 trillion times more people than any commercial on network television and be more effective for the business. That is not accepted in our industry yet, but it is an inevitable outcome of tomorrow.
And it means you have to make a lot more stuff. Yeah, go ahead, Annalisa.
And when you talk about driving the cost of creative down, I sort of feel like that brings us back to the generative AI conversation, right? Because that's where we can drive the cost of this stuff down. If it all comes down to the prompt, the idea, the thing that you're putting into the engine as being the premium thing that is uniquely human, then the generation of that content can become commoditized. It can drive the cost of that creative down and shouldn't. The way I look at automation is not so much a threat to jobs. I think about it as a response to volume, our ability to then do more with the same amount of people, not get rid of the people.
Yeah, but it is replacing certain people. Like the architect is different than the mason. I think what it does
So that's an interesting question, Gary. I'm curious to understand when we think about, when we think about the future and the tools of the present that are moving us into the future, what are those job shifts? What are the new jobs going to be in the next couple of years as a result of all this?
I've got a job at your agency that I had never seen before, which is post-creative strategist, which I was so obsessed with, because I'm like, what is that? That is the key, because that's the difference for me. That's the thing I see that's different.
Yeah.
And I wanted to dig into that so hard, you know?
The PCS.
Talk about post-creative strategists.
Somebody who reads qualitative feedback and can make an observation from it to then dictate better creative the next time. That's profound.
They're in the comments.
That's right.
They're in the
comments. So if we play out AI and say, hey everyone, bad news. 7 years from now, instead of actually writing out the copy, just an idea person could do what I just did earlier and it's all written out. So that's clearly a job, right? Bad news, everybody. If you make, you know, pictures to post on the internet in Adobe, like in 17 years, that's been replaced by somebody just saying, make a cow with sunshine on it, go. And there it is, right? What I say though is good news, everybody. All the people that have these brilliant ideas that are doing other things, do you know how many people actually have the best ideas who are cashiers at Starbucks that if they knew that this technology existed, they would be creative directors? How about that? You know, we don't think about the things that technology, do you know how many people are making $100,000 a year in YouTube ads that otherwise would have been making $40,000 a year doing something they don't want to do? So everyone goes right away into like demonizing technology. Oh, here this comes, it's gonna eliminate junior copywriters. Okay, but junior copywriters eliminated something too. Like when advertising came out, what happened to the salesman? If we had no advertising, wouldn't everybody be a salesman? The answer is yes. Just real quick, if there was no branding and advertising, would people be knocking on people's door and saying, would you like to buy this cup of coffee? Let me save everyone time, the answer is yes. And so there's always things that happen. I'm happy that I think it's a game of creativity getting even more oomph, right? It becomes more about the idea than the slog of the execution. We all know that
there's a word for that, which is democratization, right? It's becoming democratized. I love this idea that ideas come from the barista at Starbucks.
That's right.
But that's what the iPhone has done, right?
100%.
The quality of this camera inside of that phone is going to surpass DSLRs by next year.
It's crazy. And Tom, you know this.
Which means we have 5 billion people with professional devices in their pockets.
Yep.
That has implications.
It's already played out. Look who the most famous people are to a 17-year-old around the world. Let's go talk to every 15-year-old in the world and say, write down the 5 most famous people. I promise you that a lot of them do not live on television. That was I'm 47 years old. That was inconceivable when I was 17.
How ready, Gary, are marketers today for this moment? How many are ready for this moment?
A number, you know,
work is there?
I'm already misunderstood in our industry. I'm petrified to answer you. The number is staggering and it's not their faults. I don't think the ad industry and the CMOs and the marketers of Fortune 500 are less smart, less nice, less good. The game is broken. The reporting, the incentives, the realities. I can think of 400 people I've met on Instagram DM that are creators that are more prepared than anybody I can think of in Adland.
Yeah.
You can't be prepared if your job is to work on a project for 9 months to come up with a slogan and make one commercial. You can't be prepared.
Yeah. And there's still, even with the creator economy that we talk, I was just reading this article that Annalisa had sent to me about the creator economy and how it was a misnomer, because it's like the creator economy actually only pertains to the top 1%, because what do? We always go back to our old tropes. It's like, well, who are the best influencers? Not give me influencers.
Well, it depends, but I didn't read that article, but I will say this. I will say that in itself may be a misnomer as well. Let me explain.
Yeah.
To the point, I think society is completely confused on what success looks like. To that article's point, if I'm catching this right, yes, there are far less people making $4 million a year being Logan Paul and Mr. Beast and Charlie D'Amelio. However, I know personally as a human being, thousands of people that make $50,000 to $200,000 a year being a creator. And that is, again, back to the analogy earlier, I'll give you the perfect example. I know somebody right now who's a fitness creator. It's a friend of a friend. They got inspired by the book, so I got the email, I read it, and then it was like, kind of hit me. I called the person. I think she's gonna make $133,000 this year. She was making $280,000 as a lawyer. Her life is 4,000 times better. We haven't even started that combo. You know, we've always had it as, oh, you make more now than the thing. What about if you make less, but you're a happy person?
Yeah.
Well, that goes back to the success metrics too.
Yes.
That goes back to the value structure that we have.
Yes.
It costs more,
yes,
therefore it's more valuable.
Correct.
I make more, therefore my life is better.
It's crazy. Oh my God, such a good point. So I think the ad world is in for a rude awakening the same way the car industry was when it had an innovation called Tesla. I think it's the same way Hollywood network companies were when they had Netflix. You know, I often think that VaynerMedia is the preview to all the agencies of 20 years from now. Not because I'm so smart or we're so smart or we're so special. There's a secret word that the ad industry has to adopt fast, and it's a word that the industry does not know how to handle. And that word is humility. I would argue that the word that the most senior creatives and most senior strategists at the ad agencies in the world really have to factor into their day-to-day is humility, because what comes along with democratization is humility. Right, Tom? You know, again, you've been under the hood, right? Right? Like, you know, all of a sudden, you think everybody thinks they're a hot shot because they're you know, an ECD at Droga. What an iconic place. David Droga is one of the nicest people I've met in this industry. I'm so pumped for their success. And by the way, many people I meet at Wyden and Droga and Vast, wonderful, super creative. I love it. I go to Cannes mainly because I'm so head down and I don't know much about the industry. I mainly go to Cannes to stumble into people in the industry because it's lovely. But with all that said, the thought that a kid out of school, even a good ad school like Miami ad school, right? Most ECDs at big shops will not think that a first day Miami ad school person has a better idea than them, and I know it to be true. Mm-hmm. Ideas are talent. Kobe Bryant was good at 19. He didn't have to be 35. And marketing is like sports. Marketing is like sports. Right? John McEnroe was good at 17 in tennis. He was worse actually at 35, and I think that's marketing. I think a lot of people get worse in this industry because they become too client-centric instead of consumer-centric.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I think certainly the argument could be made that the closer you are to the beat, then the more relevant your idea. I mean, you have to be able to communicate.
Oh, I see it all the time. And by the way, let me flip it on the other side. I'm watching 42-year-olds coming into the business who understand the consumer better than a lot of the 22-year-olds that work for me are going into rude awakening. They're like, I know everything about social, I'm 22. I'm like, hooking up through DMs is different than marketing to sell shit.
Yeah.
And so they come, like, I've been enjoying it. I had a great meeting the other day where I kind of like played them into it. Like, yeah. And I was like, what about everything that's actually been going on for the last 4 months? And they're like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, yeah, like, cool. Like, you're like, cool that you care about it, but are you good at it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 40, I'm 47.
Like, that's humility.
Yeah.
Like, where do you need to get better and how are you doing that? What's your plan? Yeah.
I'll tell you why. My team knows this. I don't react to virality. When we crush it, when a Gary Vee video, I got 3 million on this green screen the other day. No reaction. I get 40,000 views on something that completely, like one of the worst pieces of content I put out from performance, and I'm like in there like, isn't this fucking great? What does it mean? Let's talk about it more. Let's shit on me more. This was mine. I'm the worst. Like that's just lacking. Like, and for everybody who's listening, don't confuse conviction as an opposite to humility. It's actually beautiful partners to dance. You can have conviction. But when proven otherwise, you better deploy humility. I have conviction in everything I do. But when the market, the consumer says, no, Gary, then I deploy humility. And I watch everybody in this industry use headlines in Ad Age or Ad Week, awards and seniority and where they work and some other cockamamie bullshit as the justification why they're right in the face of them being wrong.
It's all about ease for a lot of people. It's all about just like, how do I make my job as easy as possible?
And not only that, that's a good call out. And I have empathy for that because the world's stressful and people, you know, like shit's stressful. I think this goes all the way to the tippy top of the global CEOs of 5-6 holding companies. They have to realize that they're running their companies with fear.
Yeah.
And fear is the quickest way to suck out creativity. If Tom is, if I am, if Marie, like if we're in meetings and we hear that we lost the McDonald's account and our brain is actually thinking like, will I be let go? Versus what idea should I come up with for chicken nuggets? That's, so I think my observation is that the holding, the creative agencies are now owned by banks. Banks run with very little emotional intelligence. It's really not about the people, it's about the P&L. And that has created a culture of fear in Adland. I now know this to be true because it takes us a long time to get people to feel safer. And a lot of times, you know, it's a big new revelation for me, even this year, like next year, like we're gonna give people a lot more time before they even work on anything if they've been in the ad world for a long time, because it's harder for us to get them to feel safe than we realized.
If I gave you $1 million, would you rather make one spot or 100?
1,000.
Exactly. And so I think when the price tag is so high, the fear goes up, right? Because then, oh my gosh, I better get the return on that investment. What an investment.
Well, it's even worse than, I know we're going over time, I apologize, I'm end of the year, I gotta get a lot done, but I'll leave it with this. It's even worse than that, right? Because all the reporting, like the justification, how do you measure brand? That's like asking somebody to measure God and love. But there's reports for it. There's a bullshit Miller Brown report for it. There's a bullshit Nielsen's report for it. There's a bullshit client internal MMM for it, but it's fake. My friends, it's Santa Claus. Measuring brand is Santa Claus, right? So even the incentives, and you know this, and Alisa, like we have clients that say, Gary, we wanna do award-winning work. I'm like, why? Well, it's better for sales. I'm like, not really. Here's how the report came about. It was incentivized for creative agencies to sell you that bullshit. And more importantly, you're really doing it because you want self-interest for your career. So when you're named that at Cannes, you can get another CMO job. So let's talk real talk, friends.
Yeah.
Like, why do people want to be associated with things that the industry talks about? Because it gets them jobs. Because agency owners like myself, I don't do this, but like I know this is what the industry does. You look at a thing, it's like, oh, this thing's hot. Oh, who are the creative directors? Oh, go to LinkedIn. Oh, hey, Sally, you want a job? I'll promote you from an ACD to a CD, from a CD to a GCD, from a GCD to a D. Like, can we call out the game? Can we call out the game?
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not working. And what I'm most worried about is back to all the lovely people, and this is my last point, I promise, I'm sorry, team. I don't think people know how big the day of reckoning is. There's a reason so many people are getting left go in Hollywood that work in networks. It's because they lost. I don't think people realize that if they don't adjust soon, the top 45 creative agencies over a decade will lose 50% market share, meaning 80% of the staff will be let go. And when they get let go for being in the old game, the new winners aren't gonna be rushing to hire someone who like thinks that they should get a brief.
Who hung and, out in the
old 100%.
Right. The point isn't so much, it's not so much if, it's really when, and are our clients ready? And,
correct.
And how can we help them get more ready? And
correct.
I think you're right to be calling out the rules or what's broken.
Yeah, and look,
so
CMOs,
the new rules.
There's a reason CMOs are 18 months, and that's gonna trickle down to our agencies, and already has.
Like,
honestly, I have no pride or excitement about our hyper growth, because I know it. Because I know it's coming at the expense of people that, like when we win, I'm happy for my team, it's what I'm supposed to do, but my brain always goes, like when we lose business, I just run on lower margin and try to figure it out. When they lose business, they fire everyone that was on that account.
And
so my brain goes, we just want a big, big, big piece of business. Literally after yay, my brain went into like, fuck. Like I know what's gonna happen on the other side, across the street. You know, and so our industry needs to get healthier, kinder, more empathetic. We gotta figure shit out. I call for the agency owners to have create more margins so that when they lose business, they don't have to fire everyone, which will immediately make people feel safer, which will immediately make people more creative. All right, gotta go, love you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks,
cheers.
Gary.